Hey, all you jive hustlers, you stone foxes, you mean dudes, watch out.
The Godfather of Harlem is doing it again.
There's only one stud who could rip off New York, ruin Rome, and stay alive to run a number in Africa.
Like stealing candy from a baby.
He ate up the town.
What the hell did you know about that?
Now, he's hungry for more. More action. More excitement. More everything.
Pornography. Podcast tape. Presented by Sam Sugar. Sugarbank.com production. Brought to you with the support of LessBud.com.
His business is pleasure. He sells the soft stuff.
Rated R. It's nasty.
Hi, I'm Sam Sugar. Welcome to Pornography Show 8. Each week in Pornography, I take a look at the worlds of sex and pornography and the people who inhabit them. In this week's show, I'm going to take a look back at the past week at Fleshbot.com, I'll review Martha's Girls, and I'll speak to fetish model and pinup Adonna Vichet. I also have the first snippets of my interview with my new podcasting crush, Soccer Girl. Now, before I go any further, allow me to officially clarify a mistake I made in our last show. Last week, I said Lorne Michaels, instead of Lorne Greene, when I was referring to the producer of the 25-year-old sci-fi waste of time, Battlestar Galactica. In doing so, I seem to ignite the passions of fat Trekkies everywhere, and one hot Canadian female who happens to be a bit of a geek on the side. I now want to publicly acknowledge and apologize for getting the names wrong, and hopefully stem the tide of emails I'm getting, most of which sound a little like this one, I got earlier today. I apologize in advance for the language. Dear Mr. Sugar, Lorne Greene is the genius who gave us Battlestar Galactica. Lorne Michaels, who you incorrectly credited, like you, is a cunt. You suck, your podcast sucks, and your mother probably thinks you suck too, but I can't hear what she's saying clearly because my balls are in her mouth and I'm not prepared to move them. Yours faithfully, etc., etc. So, once more for the record, I now officially recognize that Lorne Greene is the Battlestar Galactica guy. Now please leave me alone. God, those sci-fi channel watchers are freaks. Anyway, now that's done, sit back, unzip, and enjoy the show. Every day, Fleshbot filters the web for the finest filth and presents the best of what it finds to its readers. Here are my highlights from their last week of discoveries. The wedding sex blog Fleshbot discovered is devoted to a fetish I didn't know existed, namely women posing in wedding dresses. Despite what the blog's trying to claim, I hesitate to call all these women brides. It's obvious some of them only wore the big puffy meringue dresses for the duration of the porn shoot they were hired for. But aside from the obvious fakes, there are a surprising number of hairy-bushed, nylon-bedecked wives who clearly thought that splitting the beaver on camera was a beautiful symbol of their new love. That's what three bottles of sparkling champagne-style white wine will do to you. Anyway, whatever the origin of the material, the blog's worth a bookmark, if only as a source for images you can send to friends in emails titled, "Is this really your mum?" Fleshbot followed up their extensive coverage of the Inside Deep Throat documentary with a link to a video from one of the extras on the newly released DVD. Marilyn Chambers, famous for being the woman who starred in seminal porn film Behind the Green Door, and for being the model who was once the young mother on the Ivory Snow soapbox, is seen in the clip giving advice on how to give great blowjobs. Unfortunately, the once beautiful Miss Chambers now looks bad, as if her plastic surgeon was using pictures of Arnold Schwarzenegger as reference material while he was giving her facelifts. Her ability to describe blowjob technique is severely hampered by her reluctance to say words like cock, cum, and pussy. She tries to play it off as reserve, but it's odd for a porn star and almost impossible to believe from a woman who was arrested for prostitution in 1985. Anyway, while the search for great blowjob advice goes on, you can download Marilyn for free and try and make sense of what she's saying. Porn aimed at straight men is often rightly criticized for the enormous amount of time it spends exploring the bodies and cocks of the 20 guys who can get regular work in the Sticky Valley. Some fans know these penises better than their own, and write to studios when they see evidence of abnormal curvature or poor shaving technique. Fleshbot discovered Straight Guys for Gay Eyes, the first website which recognizes how gay straight porn can be, and features heterosexual guys having sex with women, filmed for the benefit of a gay audience. That is, without doubt, the most brilliant idea I've heard all week, and I'm sure it'll be a smash. My only suggestion to the site's owners is simple: get another girl. On their homepage, you're treated to four images of four guys all hiding it in the same stereotypically small, red silk-robed Asian lady. Even if she's not in most of the shots, give the lady a break, guys. Just because her vagina lubricates naturally doesn't mean that she won't wear out if you don't ease up on her schedule. Also, unlike every other porn company on the planet, these guys are actively looking for new male talent to work with. For all you wannabe woodsmen who don't have a cute and equally enthusiastic girlfriend, this is probably the easiest way into the industry you'll ever get. You can apply on their homepage. My Boob Site is a blog about tits which Fleshbot rightly acknowledged for its depth and quality. Like most connoisseur boob fetishists, the people behind this site favor huge natural breasts, which generally means larger ladies who happen to be incredibly larger in the chest area. There are, of course, exceptions. Slim women who seem to be storing the body fat of all their future offspring in their dugs, and My Boob Site does a great job of finding them. For guys like me, that's a bonus. Unlike most thrown-together babe blogs, this one contains text as well as pictures, which makes it seem more like a place to visit and less like an extended ad. It's a good job all round, and that pun was intended. Fleshbot's weekly sex blog roundup is always worth reading, and this week was compiled by Vivian from Vivian's Sex Carnival. What made it particularly noteworthy was that one of the blog entries listed contains a description of three-way sex, which includes Vivian, the editor of the Fleshbot posts, as one of its participants. This is one of those blue pill, the snake is eating itself blogging moments, which will reward readers by making anything else Vivian writes seem infinitely more arousing. Once you know she likes to be held down, bit hard, and fucked while a girlfriend looks on, masturbating, it's hard to see any of her writing in the same way. On another note, if, like me, you thought that the letters were the best part of the porn mags you scavenged as a youth, Viv's Guide to Sex blog posts is a very 2005 equivalent. They were my five faves this week. Check out fleshbot.com for daily updates and podnography.com for links to all the articles mentioned here. This week's left-handed review takes us to subscription adult website Martha's Girls, a site from the people behind Retro Raunch, which attempts to emulate vintage porn style with modern porn people. It's a clever idea, but the real question has to be, does it work, and is it sexy? Visually, the designers behind Martha's Girls have got things right. They use a palette of pastels and earth tones which, combined with their use of icons and graphics, makes the site look about as 1925 as is reasonably possible, given how completely ridiculous a task that is. They're another site who have chosen, unwisely, to ignore the brilliant simplicity of RSS and are running a tour-based free site like every website since 1996. However, given how well they're doing everything else, I'm sure they can fix this, and suggest they start by reading Sugarbank if they need help knowing what to do. The guy who writes that is a genius. Inside Martha's Girls is, of course, where the action is, and I'll tell you now, it's one of the best sites I've ever seen. The main page is divided into four areas. This is a great idea. Four's not too much to think about, and allows you to logically separate the things they're trying to do. The models are presented in the section called My Girls, and within this area they're split into eras, entitled Art Nouveau, Art Deco, and Pin-Up. Within these categories are smaller sections referred to as epoch-hopping flappers and epoch-hopping pin-ups. Each section contains set style to fit the era, and not only do the creators lavish enormous attention on getting the images to look right, they also limit the amount of nudity on show to fit the time they're emulating. This is not a site where you're going to get to see explicit nudity. What you do get is incredibly well-produced pastiches of classic porn. The attention to detail is staggering. They're adding film grain, printing and rescanning their images, aging them, and even recoloring them using period-appropriate techniques. The result of all their hard work looks good enough to display in public. Properly printed, I doubt anyone who wasn't an expert could spot that these images didn't come from the periods they're faking. It's really astoundingly well done. All of the images can be sent as e-cards, and the e-cards produced are of high quality and, in a first for a porn site, might even be welcomed by women because of the beauty of so many of the photos. An e-card you actually want to receive? Another first for Martha's Girls. The final section of the site is Martha's Portfolio. Here, as if to raise an elegant middle finger at the rest of the porn industry, Martha posts photo sets of herself, shot in the styles of the most popular fetishes. You can see her doing her take on BDSM, foot fetishes, medical fantasies, and more. Like the rest of the site, this part is well shot and beautiful. But your interest level will really depend on how into Martha you are, and that'll range from very to not at all, depending on your feelings about natural blondes who wear glasses. Overall, Martha's Girls is about the smartest collision of art and sex I've seen. Staying on the this-is-supposed-to-be-arousing side of the art-sex wall is a smart move, but I wonder how long the site will be able to resist the inevitable pressure to get more explicit. Because the images produced are so amazingly authentic, I'd guess that a number of big models and performers will beat a path to their door in order to get truly retro material into their portfolios. These guys are producing work good enough for dust jackets and album covers. Of course, if that happens, prices might rise, and to avoid paying more, and given that the site's so damn good already, I can safely recommend membership to anyone who likes softcore vintage erotica as $19.95 a month. Well spent.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we are proud to announce the motion picture debut of America's most talented, most beautiful, most exciting, most glamorous female superstar. She's sweet.
This is a giant cock.
She's sexy.
I know what you want to, and you're gonna get it.
She's courageous.
All your friends are dead. Well, I killed them all.
She's outrageous.
You want me to crawl? You want to spit on me and make me crawl?
A mean kind of super chick. The godmother of them all.
This week's interviewee is Adonna Vichet. Adonna is part of the new breed of nude models who've appeared as a byproduct of the revival in interest in burlesque. Performers inspired by Betty Page, whose most famous exponent is Dita Von Teese. Adonna has a new, rapidly growing website, a slightly less new, also rapidly grown figure, a quick wit, and a great voice. Here's what happened when I talked to her. Hello, Adonna.
Hi, Sam. How are you?
I am good. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to talk to me and my millions of internet friends today.
Oh, that's my pleasure.
Yeah, well, I say millions of internet friends. I don't actually have millions of friends on the internet or off it, but I like to pretend that I do. Let's just say hundreds.
You want to be that popular, don't you? I do.
I'm like one of those sad people on MySpace who's connecting to everybody they don't know. So I actually discovered you fairly recently, not like some kind of a biologist, but I came across your website through a recommendation from a friend, and it's pretty stunning. Your website, which is adonnav.com, and there will be links to that from the show pages. But I when I saw you, I would describe you to someone listening as a kind of almost comic book kind of nude superhero. How would you describe yourself?
a nude superhero comic book. Wow, that's pretty strong. I like that idea. I would consider myself, you know, my biggest influence was pinup.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say that Bill Ward, I don't know if you're familiar with Bill Ward's work.
Only in passing.
Bill Ward's work really has impacted my pinup ideas and how I like to present myself. And how I like to look and how I like to do shows and the things that I do with the performing that I'm involved in. How would I describe myself? I don't know, but yours sounds really good. I'd hate to mess it up.
Maybe we can get you a spandex costume and with a big V on the front of it.
A big AV, yeah, that'd be great.
Oh God, stay away from men in baseball caps with A written on them because they're the ones you don't want to date. It's high school.
Really?
Well, you know, audio visual. They're the AV geeks.
Mm, mm. You've got a very good point, Sam. Good point.
Yeah. See, this is why I like
fall
to talk
for the
to
nerds
you.
Anyway.
Do you? Can I tell you? This is the enduring theme of all of these interviews. All of these interviews that I've been doing recently with beautiful women, they tend to tell stories about being hit on by famous movie stars who all fail hopelessly, by the way, much to the chagrin of the guys listening who think at some point I'm going to be really famous and I'm going to be able to have any woman I want. And all of the people I've been speaking to enjoy saying, well, actually, no, I just told them to go and take a running jump. I had no interest at all. And then you talk about loving... you know, down home guys and guys who drive trucks and, you know, nerds and things. And it just makes all the guys listening really depressed about their lives because frankly, it's easier to imagine that you can't have, a beautiful, stunning, intelligent woman because, she's just too shallow to recognize how great you are. But, the more women like you say, no, we're not shallow at all. I really like, your average ordinary guy, the more the average ordinary guy has to think, what am I doing with my life?
Yeah.
So you're...
Well,
yeah.
I think what they're not doing with their lives, and the thing that I would say is that it's always, and I put myself in the category of attractive because people have put me there, not because I particularly value that as my number one asset. Be aware of that. I probably value my intellect far more than my physical attributes, because let's hope that will last longer. Beauty has such a shelf life, and if you can spend time with someone that's actually interesting, someone who is actually stimulates your brain, you can have a wonderful friendship, a wonderful relationship, and that's far more important to me. Far more intense to me than someone with a flashy car, with a flashy watch, who thinks that, you know, a overly expensive dinner and something like that would be more attractive to me, or someone of my friends. We would much rather have somebody who was willing to just jump off the fence and say hi, then stand in the back row and say, oh, she would never, you know, she would never say hello to me. She would never talk to me. That's really not the case. The case is that most of the time when guys come and approach, it's a stunner. It's like, you really? Oh, well, thanks.
Okay, well, then I have to say two things, because one, it's an odd career choice. I mean, for someone who is intelligent and beautiful, everything you've said makes perfect sense, but then your entire career is about presenting you as, you know, presenting your beauty first.
Right.
And the other thing I would say is that you're fairly spectacular looking. So for people to be intimidated about talking to you in public, I see that as perfectly understandable, although I know enough beautiful women, luckily enough, to know that that's exactly the wrong way to handle approaching someone who is stunningly beautiful, because it's what everybody else does. But
right. So you're saying you're pretty slick. You know how to handle yourself.
No, I'm absolutely hopeless. I'm a total basket case, really. I am. I'm not. I'm about as smooth as sandpaper when it comes to. When it comes to handling myself around.
A good heavy grit. I'm sure.
Yeah, I am. I'm. You know, wet and dry. You know, you can use me. Use me either way. Because I have been involved in, you know, what I lovingly refer to as the jizz biz for a while, in various capacities, the only reason I've managed to have any success actually is because I'm hopeless with beautiful women. Because if I was constantly dating beautiful women, no one would trust me. I mean, you know this yourself. There are guys in who deal with models, and 2 minutes after they've met you, they're asking you out for dinner. And it doesn't work that way. So you kind of have to be able to switch off your, you have to pretend that you don't notice, which is also why there are so many gay guys who work with models and beautiful women.
That's true. They're very disarming and they don't feel as if they're constantly after you.
But how did you wind up, let's start at the beginning. Some people haven't been to your website yet because they're fascinated by listening to your voice, and frankly, they'll do whatever I tell them to.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. So keep, but they will go and check out your website as soon as this podcast is over. But describe yourself so people who've never seen your website, never seen your pictures, know who they're listening to.
Say primarily, I'm a pinup girl. Pinup in the sense that I like to mix retro and very, very current looks together. I don't think I do what pretty much anybody does right now. I think the one thing that does make me unique is that I have a complete adoration for the vintage look of women when they were dressed well and they looked like women, and there was such a distinctive difference between the way women dressed and men dressed. I loved that. I love the hourglass shape. I love the waspy waist, and I love hips and breasts and full lips and beautiful hair, and I like that look for a woman. And I think that most women can look very attractive if they put themselves out there in that kind of way. So I'm kind of more that kind of a woman that likes and revels in the fact of being a woman. If you're expecting, a college girl, young, kind of childlike girl, you know, there are sets and videos and photo sets that show me like that, but my true sense is very, very vixen-y, very, very pin-up, very woman. I think most people really, when they look at what I do, can't ignore it. I mean, that's been told to me many, many times, that when they see my work, they say, well, you know, you just can't ignore what you do. And, you know, I find that a great thing. I wouldn't want to be working like this and find it something that someone could easily push aside and not remember. I approach it from a much more artistic point of view. I have a degree in art, and so I love painting, obviously, because I have a degree in it. I love painting, and I love color, and I love all the old pinup artists. So, you know, they influence me. But then again, I love the Rolling Stones. I love current things. I love Green Day. I love things like that. So I like current art, and I try to throw it a little twist. I like to make it larger than life. So I think that comic book superhero kind of thing that you said in the beginning does kind of make sense to me, and that's kind of what I'm shooting for.
There's a certain aspect as well. I think seeing a lot of the way your pictures are posed and the costumes that you wear, are hyper real. I mean, I would, if someone hadn't seen you as, if someone hasn't seen you before, I would describe your kind of look as a cross between the kind of women that they painted on the front of bombers in World War II, the Camel ads, the recent Camel ads, which kind of use the 40s artwork, and then I'll throw in an iPod or a pocket watch. If I'm not sure if you've seen those, but that's, you
right,
know,
those
kind of, those, that clever stuff. And then, I mean, you do look, there's an, I mean, you have, as the French would say, a very full balcony. Have you heard that phrase before?
Yes, absolutely. I've heard that phrase quite a few times.
Many times. Yeah, you have a very impressive décolletage, and it's of a the kind of waist, and you know, when you have such a impressive chest and such a tiny waist, there's something hyper real about it, which makes you take notice. Is your figure entirely natural, or have you had breast implants?
I've had implants, yes.
So, was that what you were going for? Were you trying to make yourself look, because you really look almost, it's almost impossible for nature to have produced the kind of, you know, dramatic hourglass figure that you have.
My mother was a great beauty, and still is. And she had definitely that kind of figure, so I definitely have that propensity to it. But it is enhanced. I have had it enhanced. You know, only the bust line's been enhanced. Everything else is through just nature and
hours and hours in the gym.
And working out, definitely. I started this life as a professional ballet dancer, and so that automatically gives me a dancer's body. And so, you know, dancers are not known for their bust lines,
no.
But they're known for their legs and the, you know, their long, lean muscle tissue.
Mm-hmm.
So that's always helped me, and I will always take dance class.
Wow.
Yeah.
How tall are you?
I am not very tall at all. I'm actually very, very, very petite. Sometimes I range between, you know, and it depends on what floor I'm standing on and who's measuring me or how good they want me to feel that day. But I'm approximately 5'4".
Oh, that's huge.
But I've been measured like 5'3" too. So, you know, it's hard to tell.
I just interviewed someone who's 4'11".
Wow.
Yeah.
That's what I call 5 foot nothing. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Tiny little thing.
Yeah, exactly. It's so you would tower over someone like that. And I'm also sure, as anybody who sees you will come to this conclusion, no doubt, by themselves, but I doubt you have many complaints about your height.
And most people, when they meet me, think I'm so much taller than I am, and I don't know why that is. I have no idea.
And I have completely the opposite effect. Everyone, I'm a hair under 6'4".
Okay.
Everyone thinks I'm 5'9". It's ridiculous.
Really?
Yeah, really.
I think I have a short complex because my shortest brother is 6'4".
Do you have do you have many brothers?
The shortest one. And then there was me, and it doesn't quite make sense, but yeah. And then I have another brother who's almost 6'6", just shy of 6'6". So, you know, me feeling short is not a surprise when you come from a family that's so tall.
So tell me, what does your family think of you being a pinup? Because the other thing to throw into this mix, which people listening to this podcast are going to know, but you know, obviously a lot of your work involves nudity and sexuality, which I think is absolutely wonderful. Thank goodness. And I'd like to thank you personally for taking your clothes off and allowing people to take pictures. But
thank you very much.
It's okay. See, I thanked you and then you thanked me. But what motivated you? How did you get to standing in front of a photographer and taking a top?
You know, I started dancing at the age of 3. I come from a family that's very open and that's very loving, and they don't have I don't know anyone in my family who really has any kind of sexual, physical hang-ups.
Mm-hmm.
Starting dance at 3, I was exposed to the human body in all its shapes and sizes and positions and forms and everything. And I remember distinctly my mother saying, there's not one thing that the human body does that's not beautiful. And that imprinted me. I've been, of course, going to art college. Being a dancer, painting, live models that were nude that we would sketch. And, you know, you make extra money by doing it yourself. So standing or posing or sitting, it just didn't mean that much to me. It was an art form, and it was something to actually help other artists. So I didn't really, there was never anything that got in my way as far as that was concerned, ever.
So that's how you started, as a life model?
Yeah, I would say probably that was the first thing. I mean, as a baby, as a little girl running around, I know that everyone in my family at a certain age, we all had a thing called naked time, you know. And even my niece and nephew at you know, their age of 2 and 3 years old, they had the time of the day where it was just naked time. And so they'd run around naked. So it wasn't thought of it as anything dirty or repulsive. It was just natural. There's nothing wrong with it. Everybody's got one. What's the big hang up?
I'm totally with you. And that's what I tell people on public transport, because often my naked time happens to coincide with rush hour. And, you know,
you get your best publicity then, don't you?
Yeah, exactly. If I'm taking my pants off on the subway and people can't handle my naked time, they've got the problem, not me.
Yeah, exactly.
But so are your family, are you American through and through? Are you a Bush, or do your family have more exotic origins? Because I don't associate that kind of freedom with nudity as being particularly... Middle American.
Not at all. As a child, I was sent away to school and boarding school in Switzerland.
So you've been Finnish.
That probably imprinted me also. My mother comes from British heritage. My grandmother's English.
Wonderful stuff.
And, yeah, of course. I knew you'd love that. And then, and I'm not buttering you up, because that's the truth. And my father is a mix of Middle Eastern, French, Italian mystery. It's very, very dark. Very dark. Black, wavy hair, very dark skin.
Wow.
And black eyes. And my mother is just beautiful, lily white skin with big blue eyes, you know, and chestnut hair. So it's you know, I got a mix of that, and definitely neither one of them had that middle American idea. Not that that's bad, it just simply is different. Neither one of them had those kinds of thoughts that, you know, that would have told me that what I was doing was bad. So in answer to the first question that you actually asked, is my family supportive? Basically, yeah, completely. They think they've always said, don't count on your beauty. Though you have it, don't count on it. You know, be interesting. Be interesting to yourself, and count on your education, because that's going to last a lot longer. But you know, if you have beauty and you feel good about it, then, you know, do what you want with it. It's your life.
Do you have an exit strategy in mind? Are you thinking about another life when you're no longer going to be a Donna Vichae?
That's funny. I do other work, obviously. Donna Vichae is what I do when I'm performing, is who I am online, is my alter ego, is the woman that is this pinup girl, that is this burlesque dancer, performer, that I do perform at, events around the world. So that is who she is. But, you know, having come from an artistic family, I've always had a myriad of interests. I do so many other things than just this. Which just is keeping me quite busy, but but I'm still doing more.
Are they secret things?
Pardon?
Are they secret things, or can you give some kind of indication of what
no.
they are?
I do voiceover. I'm a voiceover actress mainly. That's basically what I do. You'll hear me in national commercials.
Do your voiceover voice. What's your? Are
it's
you like?
It's who I am. It's what I am. You're probably hearing it now, unless they say put a little more smile into it or don't do it so sexy. I mean, I've done promo for many, many different companies, which will remain nameless. But I do that for television and radio nationally, and having been a dancer and am a dancer, I choreograph a lot. I've choreographed a lot of commercials and, you know, film and etc. So I've got a very full plate, and I keep my hand in it all.
You're a complete contradiction, because I've seen documentaries about those guys who, they're like three of them, and if I was really a bit more LA right now, I would remember their names, but I'm glad that I don't. But, you know, they're the, it was a time of war. It was a time of heroes, you know, and those guys who like,
and
they drive around doing that all day, but they look, you know, they're 5'2" and they're these 95-year-old guys with these deep voices, but you are a gorgeous woman and you do voiceover work. When you arrive, people must, their brains must just melt down.
And not tooting my own horn, but I did a, for an adult television channel, I did a promo, a commercial promo, and I came in, and I'm wearing jeans and a Rolling Stones t-shirt, you know, that mm-hmm. nothing. Because you don't really have to worry about what you look like when you go in to read in front of a microphone. As well
I thought
as
you were going to say you don't have to worry about what you look like when you're a beautiful woman, because you can just get away with wearing anything, because it'll be true too.
Well, thank you very much. But, you know, you don't need to worry about makeup and hair. You don't need to worry about being in front of a camera. Mm-hmm. And I remember going in and they said, well, what are you here for? And I said, I'm doing the promo for this new show that you're lining up for the next, blah, blah, blah. And they, mm-hmm. Really? Yeah. Well, you're not supposed to look like that. that was very sweet. And I won't forget it. It was just very, very sweet. Yeah, no, I was shocked, but they were very shocked. They're like,
okay, I'm gonna exploit you shamelessly now on air.
Oh.
I want you to say, hi, my name's Adona Vichet. You're listening to Podnography. Can you do that with your
I'm
best?
You're listening to what?
See, now this is the embarrassing part. This is the point where 30 minutes into our conversation, you're like, what show am I talking to? Podnography, as in pornography, but I've replaced the porn with pod,
okay.
As in
pornography.
Podnography.
Podnography.
Do you see how clever that is?
Oh, I get
it. Is it making
pornography.
You feel a bit...
Pornography.
You're feeling a little bit tingly because you listen to it on your iPod. And it's
on your
porn.
iPod, which I have four.
There you go.
How could you not have
Shuffle
an iPod?
Photo Mini, you know.
Exactly. Shuffle Photo Mini and the basic one that is my, you know, household and, alarm clock pod.
New ones are coming out very soon. But
pardon?
New ones are coming out very soon. You heard it here first. But you heard it here. By the time this comes out, it'll be like they came out a month ago. But no, can you do a big kind
a
of sexy?
You want me to do?
Yeah, because otherwise I'd have to pay you like $500 an hour, and yeah. I'm not doing that.
Wait a minute.
So if you just say no, I'll just tack on a load of stuff saying, well, what a
bitch.
Yeah,
that's fine. Yeah. You'll just tack on something like, well, she was very, very, very difficult to deal with.
There you go. Go on.
This is Donna Vichet, and you're listening to Podnography.
That was good. That was good. Yeah.
Oh, so funny.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of other things I can get you to say now. Yeah, I should get you to do like answer phone messages and.
Phone. You know, I actually have a friend. I did record his phone message for him. Yeah.
That's just because the guys.
He thought that was great.
I bet he did. That's just because guys are looking for any excuse to get you into that. I'm sure you have guys who are offering to teach you.
Phone.
Spelunking, yeah, exactly, and all kinds of crazy stuff. Actually, given that you are, you're out there, you have a couple of successful careers. Do you find that it impacts your relationships? Do you find it easy to have stable relationships?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the kernel of truth in stability lies within yourself. I'm not neurotic. I'm not psycho. I'm not on any medication to keep myself stable. Not that that's a bad thing, because people on medication need to stay there. And, you know, not that makes them any less, but I don't have any issues. I don't have any problems with that kind of stuff at all. No, I've got wonderful friends. I have wonderful relationships. And yes, I am very busy. And every once in a while, when something comes up, it's a friend or someone who is important to me in my life, they come first. That's the bottom line. Because I know that I would come first for them.
I respect any woman who lets me come first. I just want to put that out there.
You know, put it out there, because there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, I just...
There you go.
You know,
there
it's
you
just...
Go.
I think it's...
And it's highly likely in my case. So, you know, we're just going to let that... Just let it go right there.
You know what? There's so much stuff I can't say right now without you know, breaking some kind of interstate laws, but... Goodness. I'm being tested. We're so lucky we're doing this over the phone. Otherwise, I'd be like, well, I'll raise you. But do you...
Yeah. It's just because we're on the phone. Yeah.
Well, you know, I have to protect you. If you knew how handsome I am, you'd just keep calling me. It would
blinding.
Be embarrassing.
Blinding. I get it.
Yeah. It's like standing too close to the sun. But
Icarus, thank you. My wings have melted.
Absolutely. Yeah. See, I got the reference immediately.
I would say
a cross between Icarus and Metatron, actually. But
nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Little Bacchus thrown in. No.
Yeah, absolutely.
No, not quite that kind of a party boy. No.
No, actually, but let's talk about porn. Actually, I need to recover the show. Boobs,
okay.
Willies, cocks,
yeah.
Semen. Okay,
right.
Now we're back. See, because people were drifting. We started talking
drifting.
About that
drifting.
Weird stuff. Drifting.
Drifting.
And I don't mean that Japanese driving around the corner with the back end of the car kind of skidding out. I mean, just drifting off. But so do you find, I mean, I didn't see you in the Tom Sizemore tapes, but then again, I didn't see myself, and I remember my evening with Tom as well as anybody else does. But
right.
do you have relationships with celebrities? Because I've spoken to a couple of people who have fabulous celebrity anecdotes, and I was wondering if you had one somewhere in the past.
You know, of course we all have stories. and living in Los Angeles and working here and, you know, being on set and you know, in certain venues where, you know, celebrities will be, you meet them. I pretty much steer clear of that. I don't put myself in that kind of a position. I would much rather be connecting with someone who's behind the camera or behind the scenes. I just tend to gravitate to that. I don't gravitate to celebrity. I don't know why.
That is the correct answer. Well, I have to...
I'm so glad, because I was very nervous. I had no idea. Is this the right thing to say?
That is totally the right thing to say. But thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us today.
Sam, it's my pleasure. I appreciate it.
We appreciate it. And everyone will now go and check out adonav.com, and a link to that will be on the podnography.com website. And Podnography is Adona's favorite podcast, you know. Let's not pretend.
Podnography is totally my favorite podcast.
You see, there you go. Thank you so much. And we will speak to you soon, I hope.
I hope so, Sam.
I hope so. And in that circle is vacant. I will
This week's featured article from SugarHive discusses anal sex. Anal sex is one of the most desired, least understood sexual practices, and this short article tells you everything you need to know in order to start happily journeying to the center of the earth, and you can read it in under 2 minutes. You'll find a link to the anal sex article on the homepage of sugarhive.org, and, as always, add what you know, improve what you find, fix our mistakes, and have fun.
He drives the most expensive car because second best never enters his mind.
From Midtown Manhattan to the mob's private playground in the Caribbean, from Times Square to the stratosphere, he's bad. He's mean. He's a loving machine.
He's twice as cool, twice as sly, twice as deadly.
If he won't do me, nobody will.
In a couple of weeks, or as soon as I've got it edited, I'll publish my first live outside broadcast, which I recorded a week or so ago with podcasting superstar Soccer Girl. Cleverly, she made sure I was drinking while we talked, and the resulting conversation is bound to be called into evidence by the prosecution, should I ever need character witnesses as part of a legal defense. I had a great time, and now claim the right to say I was the first podcaster ever to enter Soccer Girl's web-famous Bedroom HQ. She's got a little teaser of our chat ready to go already, and it should give you some idea of how things went, and how much I had to drink.
Now she's entirely relaxed, entirely vulnerable. Only my professionalism is allowing me to maintain a cool detachment here in Soccer Girl's boudoir, as the crickets outside compel me to be a man and take what I desire. But, back to the interview.
Yo, Soccer Girl on the radio! FM
93.2.1! Do you see how this temptress webs this web of intrigue?
You see how I web it?
Is that what I said?
Yes.
God, podcasting is so much fun. You have no idea how much pleasure she's getting from seeing me all flustered as opposed to my cool, professional demeanour.
Mm-hmm.
Most people in my life who've ever touched me have only done it because I was paying them, but maybe...
Right, and most of the time when I've touched people, it's only been because I was paid, but...
We can edit this bit out, right?
Yeah.
Okay,
whatever.
Good. I'm very nervous. I'm not used to this outside broadcasting because I have this recording
Drink
thing.
Drink more beer.
You're right.
Oh my god, your accent's so hot. I can't even believe you're in my room. I want you so bad.
Exactly.
Stuff like that.
I need to lower your defenses.
They're pretty low.
You see, she's better than me.
Shut up. I
kind of like raise the bar and then she'll say something and I'll be like, okay, can't match that. Move on.
Cut it out.
So would you be the kind of person who would ever go for a molded on the boyfriend kind of model?
Oh yeah, that would be awesome.
I've considered that before. But one, they only send you a gallon of that putty molding material.
Right, not nearly enough.
Not nearly enough.
Obviously.
And so, secondly, it seems
Seriously,
like...
Seriously, guys? Obviously not enough. I don't have a penis.
Well, you have two, actually.
Yeah, okay, you're right.
But
no. Yeah, three including Ryan.
They're rowboat.
Four including yours.
Yeah. You don't have mine.
Not yet.
I'm having to... can I tell you that Soccer Girl can be incredibly distracting? I need to... Yes, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Michael Jackson phones up and says, hey, I'd like to play with your kid.
Okay, yeah, and why don't you sleep in the same bed with my son?
Exactly.
Why don't you touch his penis?
Exactly.
That's fine.
Well, Judge, his penis was cold and my mouth was warm. And
I just was trying to warm him up. I didn't want him to get hypothermia in Neverland.
Yeah.
Well, we're looking at our bodies.
I'm winning. I have made Soccer Girl blush for the first time. She's getting all coquettish. I wish I could zoom in with the mic. Now it's just going to distort, but I'm zooming.
Get away,
I'm zooming.
Don't tickle me
with
that.
They'll just be hearing thunk, thud, if it touches anything.
Yeah, because I kickbox that shit.
That's true. It might seem unlikely. The most naked I've ever been is like jeans, a t-shirt, and a pair of thick socks. No one has ever seen my penis. So I can make jokes all day and all night about how big my wanger is.
And then you can tuck it into your shoe and go about your merry way. We'll be right back.
That's it for Podnography Show 8. As usual, you can find links to all the items discussed in this podcast at podnography.com. That's podnography.com. Email podnography@gmail.com with comments, questions, and suggestions, or call 310-933-5993 to leave a message for me or the show. Thanks for listening. I'll be back next week.